No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, welcome back to another Wisco Fanatics Tuesday evening. We are back. We are officially back. We have a game in the books. We have a recap today, as well as another preview. Quick turnaround this week. The Packers beat the Lions on Sunday. 2 days later, we're at today. We're recapping the win, and 2 days from now, we're watching another Packer game. So we're going to hit the intro, and we're going to start talking about the Packers win over the Lions.
Welcome to another episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we cover the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, and Badgers basketball and football teams from an optimistic and realistic perspective.
Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Alrighty, so really quick, just before we jump into the recap, let's just have a quick conversation on the bit of news that happened right before the show started. The Packers are giving Christian Watson a one-year contract extension for $13.25 million, I believe it was. I know it's 13, I think it's 13.25, but what I want to say is I already see a bunch of people being like, oh my God, they're wasting money, flushing money, he's glass, all this. The way to look at it, and this is the example that I used when I said it to the guys in the chat that we have, is to essentially look at it the way that the Brewers did with Brandon Woodruff. They essentially signed him for a two-year deal, knowing that he was going to be injured for a big chunk, if not all, of the first one, to essentially pay him for the second one. That's essentially what the Packers are doing with Christian Watson, except there's only a guarantee that he only misses four games. That's where we're at. He might only miss four, he might miss six, but whatever you get from him this season is just bonus. He's making about $3 million this year. So the way to look at it is essentially for 2025 and 2026, he's making $16 million. That's the way to look at it. So I don't know if you have any, you have any thoughts that you want to give on Christian Watson before we start talking about the Lions.
Floor is yours, Bryant.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate the contract. It makes me wonder a little bit what, you know, they're thinking with Romeo Doubs, or maybe they went to Doubs and I think he might price himself out. He's good. Like Doubs is a really good wide receiver. Hopefully it doesn't like hurt him none that we already extended Watson. I don't know any of that. He might know Romeo Doubs is probably looking more like a 3 year, $30 million type of contract after this season, rather than what Christian Watson just got. And I would say that's on the low end for Doubs, to be honest, especially if he continues to play like he did the first week. I just love Doubs because he's a really consistent player for me. He kind of reminds me of, like, when you think about the trios we've had and stuff like that, he reminds me kind of like James Jones style, like just very consistent. I know he's a different type of wide receiver, but he's just very, very good hands and kind of just makes those plays or whatever. Not like crazy super explosive, although he had the big corner route this weekend, but he's just very solid player. But I don't hate the move at all. I'm sure we'll have to wait to see what it actually – how it's structured. There's probably a void year on it. There's probably not a whole lot of guarantee. Like, so people just kind of need to chill. It's just probably one less thing they need to worry about for next year. Watson looked good in camp from what everyone was talking about. I feel like they feel pretty good that he's probably going to be back after 4 weeks or 5 weeks when you consider the bye. So I don't hate the move at all. And he was playing well again last year before he got hurt. So
that's the thing, is every time he's been on the field, he's been electric. I mean, two touchdown games. He had, what, 9 touchdowns in like a 4 week span at the end of 2022. So, I mean, he's explosive. He's somebody you have to watch every single time he's on the field. Just that's the thing, is just how much on the field is he going to be? Essentially, the Packers are just betting fairly small for the wide receiver market when you consider the fact that the Lions just gave Jameson Williams a 3 year, $87 million extension to have 4 catches for 23 yards. Yeah. Christian Watson's getting half that.
And Christian Watson, if he gets healthy and gets on the field, he becomes a field stretcher again, Now we're not relying on Dobbs to do that because he runs the out routes and the hooks. And then you have Matthew Golden, who's probably running a lot of crossers, middle of the field type of things, making big plays there because the field is cleared out for him. Like, yep. Watson does a lot to this offense.
Yep.
Even if he's not catching the ball, you have to respect his speed.
Yep.
Yeah, so for me, there's a lot of splits that support that he benefits the Packers offense in a lot of positive ways. Not only is he a field stretcher, he's a big guy, so he could be a red zone threat. Tyler came up with the idea of the, you know, the Watson corner when he kept catching touchdowns in the far left corner over there. And on top of that, he's also a really good run blocker, and this is a run first offense. So
really good,
very good run blocker, field stretcher. He's caused absolutely zero problems on and off the field. It's really been, you know, Packers fans have had a problem with his dad and his brother more than the player itself, which is odd nowadays when you think about the age of social media. But Christian Watson's been a delight. He's been a good player, and he's been a positive on and off the field. So I like the move. When you consider that you're getting a 6'5 guy that runs that fast, jumps that high, makes contested catches for basically $8 million, you know, averaging out. That was a great point by you, Tyler. That's a good move. That is what the type of stuff that Brian Gutekunst is doing. And I know everybody keeps talking about how Howie Roseman's the best. I'd throw Gute in there in the top three, bro. Over the last couple of years, if you look at his drafts, created a lot of depth, moving on from a lot of big-time players with Rodgers and Jones and Davante Adams. And there's a lot of players we moved on from, and he's replaced all that and tenfold more. So it's a good move.
Yeah. Simon, welcome back. I'm excited that you're here. You have thoughts on Christian Watson?
Yeah, just a couple things. I just saw something like Tutu Atwell is getting $10 million for a one-year contract, and Christian Watson absolutely blows him out of water in talent. And on top of that, I think this all just but confirms that Romeo Doubs is kind of the odd man out next year, and so he'll go somewhere else and he'll get a contract. Someone's going to give him a contract next year. And this is also like something I kind of talked about in the offseason. Like, Christian Watson might get that one-year contract worth like a prove-it deal, and this is exactly what Green Bay wants. So he must also feel really good about where he's at in the rehab process. And he'll probably come to us sooner rather than later, obviously, after IR is over. But I really like this move.
Matthew said the Holt Packers can win this. Holt, Mr. Parsons can give Washington a hard time. I mean, they've seen him twice a year for the last 4 years. So, but before we get into Packers and Commanders, we're going to start with Packers and Lions. So, Simon, give us kind of the breakdown of how the Packers did with blitzes versus coverage.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of blitzing this week. Packers only blitzed 5 times, and outside of that, they just got home with 4 players a lot, and that's exactly what Jeff Hafley wanted in his defense. And, man, when LBN, Gary, and Parsons are on the field together, I think they had, if I remember correctly, I meant to write it down, but I didn't. I think they had 7 plays together, and it went for like 2 yards total or something insane like that. So the Packers ended up only blitzing 5 times. So it went short pass to Gibbs for 2 yards, short pass to Montgomery for -2 yards, short pass to Gibbs for 5 yards, short middle for Amon-Ra St. Brown for 9, and then a wide open Laporta that got lost in coverage for 32 yards. All in all, like, this is what we need out of this team, is to get them in obvious passing situations and put our best pass rushers on the field and only rush 4 and be able to get home.
Yeah.
And I've seen something where
a little bit, but.
Yeah. I seen something where it was when Parsons was on the field for those 29 or 30 plays, the Lions averaged like 2.5 or 2.9 yards per
2.7,
play.
I think it was. I thought,
yeah.
Well, maybe
not enough for a first down. I'm pulling it.
Yeah, so yeah, maybe it was 0.5. But yeah, I'll talk about some of those things as well after Jake talks about the pass rush.
Yeah, so talking about the pass rush, Simon hit the nail on the head. They only had a rush 4. And if you look at any successful defense in NFL history, being able to drop more players in coverage is going to benefit you in the long run. You'll be able to stop the pass. But the thing that really, you know, what made it effective is everybody flowing to the ball, right? I'm not trying to steal anybody's thunder, but man, oh man, I could cry some happy tears right now thinking about how every time that somebody had the ball for the Lions, there was 7, 8 players over there. And I was like, oh my God, I dreamed days like this. But focusing on just the pass rush, total they had 4 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, and 13 hurries. Van Ness, Wyatt, Parsons, and Gary had the sacks. So Parsons was just causing havoc all over the field. And Devontae Wyatt showed the quickness and burst that made him a first-round pick. That sack was so fast, dude. Like, I swear to God, I grabbed my water bottle to take a drink because I was screaming and I had a dry mouth. And I looked up and he was already on top of the quarterback. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. It was insane. Penei Sewell. So, heard a lot of talk from Lions fans about Penei Sewell, how he's going to lock down Micah Parsons. Well, in total, Micah Parsons had a 21% win rate versus Penei Sewell. I don't know if you guys know football, but that's pretty goddamn good. He had to get double and triple team plenty of times. In total, Parsons, he played 29 of the 65 total snaps for the defense, so 45% if you like percentages better than total numbers. He had three pressures. In those three pressures, resulted in a negative 2-yard loss for Jahmyr Gibbs, an LVN sack, and an interception. So those are all good things. Those are all momentum plays, so you'll love to see that. And Goff also had to get rid of the ball a half second sooner when Parsons was on the field, 2.8 seconds, compared to when he was off the field, 3.36 seconds. So Micah Parsons is already making waves. Obviously, pass rush was going to be the biggest impact where he was going to help with Rashawn Gary. And Gary did a tremendous job, you know, setting the edge and not rushing too far upfield. We've had conversations about that with him, too. So he did a nice job setting the edge and then making his way to Goff. The guys up front, everybody was pushing the pocket up the middle. And, dude, having a guy on the edge that has to get triple teamed is just going to do so much for those two inside guys, Wooden and Wyatt. And they played a tremendous game. Brooks was all right. But I feel like, honestly, my MVP was Colby Wooden, dude, because he was an absolute monster. He was a load. So with the pass rush, hopefully this is something that we're talking about positively the entire year.
Yeah, it was funny. As we move into the D-line, it was funny the – the Packers media is talking to Colby Wooden after the game about the tackle that he made on the goal line when the Lions are trying to get off of their own goal line. And he's like, I didn't even have to do anything. He's like, it just opened up like the Red Sea, and you look over and Micah Parsons being triple teamed. And Colby Wooden's just standing there waiting to hug Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, it's funny, too. Like, it's seeing Colby Wooden also interviewed. He was talking about how his dad called him after the Packers traded Kenny Clark to the Cowboys and said, hey, you know, he's like, go prove them wrong. Go hype them up. He's like, you know, hype them up after the Kenny Clark trade, you know, show them, you know, that show them what you can do, basically. With Kenny Clark being gone, Devontae Wyatt and Colby Wooden are the main run stoppers. We've talked about it in the past, the past year and a half, 2 years, that Colby Wooden has shown really good play diagnosis ability. Carl Brooks is the more apt pass rusher, I would say, but Colby Wooden is the better run defender. And it showed this week. Colby Wooden had a career high 6 tackles, had 2 tackles for loss. The Packers defensive line as a whole hit Lions rushers behind the line of scrimmage on 16 of 22 rushes.
Oh my.
72.7%. That is the highest that a Dan Campbell Lions team has allowed.
Oh,
but that's
insane.
73% of your rushes, you're being hit behind the line of scrimmage. The Packers held Sonic and Knuckles to 2.6 yards per carry. And I just want to throw this out there. Talking about Micah Parsons, he reached 18.49 miles per hour on his sack. Seeing Micah Parsons come flying out of a double team, flying out of the pile and just chasing him down. Like, I don't get sick of watching it. Like, I could watch it over and over and over again. And just the closing speed is just so apparent every single time you watch it. And there's no getting used to it. Every time you watch it, it's like, God damn, he's fast.
It's like everyone knew that was about to happen besides Jared Goff.
I don't know how you know that guy's on the field. You don't feel that, like, that pressure, like, dude, this guy's going to come hunt me down, dude.
Also, real quick about Parsons, I thought he should have got credit for probably a minimum 4, maybe 5 pressures, because they didn't the LBN and Gary half sack each. That happened because Parsons pushed Penei Sewell all the way back. And Jared Goff stepped up right into him. He didn't get pressure, or he didn't get credit for a pressure, but that literally happened because of him. So he's just making plays everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that he probably could have been credited with probably four or five pressures other than the three that he was given. Just on the other guys on the defensive line, Rashawn Gary, I don't think necessarily starred in the pass rush, not even to the point that he had a sack and a half, one of them being through another grown man while holding on to the offensive lineman with his arm, holding Goff with his other arm and wrapping his left leg around Jared Goff and simultaneously tackling two humans, barely avoiding a safety. Rashawn Gary did that by himself.
Yeah.
I thought he played a hell of a game.
Yeah, he did.
So he didn't, you know, he didn't have like a big hit or like a, you know, a big solo sack or anything like that. But that play on the goal line was pretty, pretty nuts. And then he was credited with half of a sack on the sack that Lucas Van Ness had, just because they kind of teamed up to kind of finish the sack. LVN was the first one there. Walked Christian Mahogany, an offensive lineman that we all liked, walked him back into Jared Goff's lap and made the sack. I would have just given LVN the sack for that one. Goff would have fallen down anyways if Gary wasn't there to help bring him down.
I still claim my bold prediction of all three of them each getting a sack because, you know, PFF credits is a full sack, so I'm going to take it.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair.
Completely Pat yourself fair. In the back, my boy. That was nicely done. Nicely done.
Lucas Van Ness was second on the team, four pressures. He had the sack, did have also four run stops. You know, you guys kind of already mentioned having Parsons, Van Ness, and
Gary.
Yeah, Gary on the field. I was thinking of having somebody on the same side with them, and I was thinking maybe of Cooper, but having those three out there, and you talk about the pass rush that they can bring, but Lucas Van Ness, we knew this last year, and we talked about it. We did videos on it of Lucas Van Ness growing as a run defender. And having that in with obviously the pass rushing prowess of Gary and Parsons, it just shores up the defense even more. And then you have a performance like you did on Sunday. So Rashawn Gary was credited with five pressures, had the sack, had two run stops as well. I do think he stood out in the run game as well, like Jake said. He did a really good job setting the edge. He made several big tackles in the run game where it's like, oh, that was Rashawn Gary making that tackle. Stuff like that. I think that's a growth thing that should not be overlooked. He shouldn't be looked at as just a pass rusher. I think he's grown at the run diagnosis as well. And then Devontae Wyatt, he looked like a Pro Bowl caliber defensive lineman on Sunday, versus a good offensive line, one that if you diagnose it and dive into it, isn't as good as it obviously has been, but still an offensive line that people had no problem ranking as one of the best in the league. So don't give me this shit that all of a sudden now they have a bunch of moving pieces on the offensive line when nobody was talking about that all offseason. We talked about it with Spofford last week, and the four of us were still having trouble figuring out who the second guy was that they lost on their offensive line. So nobody was talking about it. Like I said, people had no problem ranking it as the best offensive line in the North, one of the best in the NFC. Devontae Wyatt had the second highest PFF grade on the team. He had the four pressures and a sack. Could have had another strip sack that was wiped out by a penalty, but I'm very, very excited to see more of Devontae Wyatt starting on Thursday. I'm going to let everybody else cover the rest of their subjects before we talk about a couple of other stats that I want to bring up, but I'm going to let Bryant go on linebackers and tackling.
Yeah, so, man, we got a taste of what Quay Walker and Edrin Cooper can be for this team. And I talked about the importance of getting to the outside, not letting Jahmyr Gibbs break contain and get to the outside. He did not get to the edge, and he did not break contain. Maybe one time. And so the Packers had 10 missed tackles this game. And honestly, I'm fine with that this game because what happened was they're all rushing to the ball carrier. Edge Cooper had a couple missed ones, but guess what? He contacted Jahmyr, kind of turned him around, had him held up. And by the time he turned around and tried to get back upfield again, there was five Packers there ready to smack him. You see LVN squirting way out there. You see freaking, you know, Quay Walker getting way out there. Like, everyone was just getting to the ball carrier. Really, really good job by them.
Steve said it really well. It said it felt like we had 15 men on the field.
Yeah,
really did.
That's a great way to say it.
outstanding job by them. So Cooper got credited for 12 tackles. I'm telling you, we're going to see 150 tackles from this dude this year. Quay had 9 tackles and 2 tackles for losses. Quay also had should have had an interception. He still needs to learn how to catch a little bit. That's really good coverage. He just needs to catch the ball. That
was a tough catch, bro.
Eh, a little over the shoulder.
That's why he plays linebacker, not tight end.
Yeah. Either way. So, but Cooper had 8 defensive stops, which was second in the NFL this week. And then he had 5 stops in coverage, which is first in the NFL this week. And he had an 81.8 rating against him. So against Gibbs, Gibbs went 5 for 5 against him for 9 yards.
Hell yeah.
I will take that all the time. Like, I don't care that he caught – I don't care if he has 100% completion against him. I care about the yards.
Yeah.
And he, that would be 5 plays, and they still wouldn't have a first down.
That's context.
So, I was also kind of surprised to see McDuffie and Hopper only combined for 19 total snaps. McDuffie did get 18 of those. It'll be interesting to see if Hopper starts getting on the field more, especially with Quay's quad injury. He did play practice limited today, so I'm hoping he's all right.
Put a pin in Hopper because we're going to talk about him in special teams.
Yeah. So, and then, so PFF did credit, like I said, Green Bay with 10 missed tackles. But I love the effort, the energy, like getting to them. And if the first person wasn't tackling him, he was still stopping them, making him hesitate. And they weren't getting anywhere from it because everyone had it. And lastly, the Green Bay Packers were credited for 9 tackles for loss. That is a huge number.
So let me ask you guys a question real quick. I was thinking it on Sunday. I was waiting for this very moment when Brian was going to talk about linebackers to bring this up. Do you think that Quay Walker and Cooper, now this is kind of dependent on Quay keeping it up. We already know what we expect out of Cooper. Do you think that they could be like White and Davis were for 100%. The – you think they could be just like that? Just
yeah, because I think 4-2-5 Edrin Cooper is going to get his flowers this year. And if you go on Twitter at all, you see people talking like, "Who? Like, holy crap, look at this kid." Like, when I said that, a lot of times when you see All-Pro, people will get an All-Pro sometimes before they get a Pro Bowl because All-Pro is actually voted by on the NFL players and the writers and stuff like that. Those people are noticing Edge Cooper. So he can be good enough to really kind of, I think, pull Quay over the edge too, because Quay Walker ended up with 2 tackles for loss. I almost guarantee, I think at least one of those was because of Edge Cooper getting to the edge first, slowing the guy down, turn him around, and then Quay Walker cleaned it up for him.
Yeah.
So if they can work in tandem like that, and I've seen Quay Walker blitzing too, I love the fact that they can, like, if they're both on an 8, think about this. The Packers right now can create a line of LVN on the inside, or Micah Parsons on the inside, which we've seen, LVN on the other side, Gary and Devontae Wyatt, and then you can have Quay Walker and Edrin Cooper standing in the A gaps.
Oh,
what are you gonna like? That's so much speed and energy. Like, I don't know how you stop that. So,
our defense is so fast.
They're honestly the
crazy thing about that is out of those, like, what, 6-7 guys you just named, there's 5 or 6 of them that you can drop back into coverage comfortably.
And you've seen that, you've seen LVN drop back into coverage.
Yeah.
So, and
I mean,
I'm so glad you brought it up because when he did drop back into coverage, he chucked a crossing wide receiver off of his path. Because it's within 5 yards, it's completely illegal.
The communication that's happening on this team right now is something we've never seen under Joe Barry.
And to me,
I wish people would shut up about Jeff Hafley being a head coach already. Because it's pissing. Like, leave him alone. Leave him alone.
People got to stop bringing it up because it's gaining
time.
He's terrible.
Yeah, he's so bad. He's terrible, yeah.
Look at that touchdown at the end of the game. You can't do it in crunch time.
You can only say it in video. You can't put it out there in text.
But no, I'm very excited about these linebackers. Quay still has some steps to take. Unfortunately, he's going to be expensive this next year if we want to keep him. You know, and all these little signings like Christian Watson starts to make it harder to keep other people. Micah Parsons just got a whole lot of money. So, you know, but I just want to enjoy it for this year and to see where we go from there.
I think it's in the cards that they try to extend him before the end of the season, just for the fact that he was named a team captain.
Yeah.
As voted on by the team.
Yeah. And think about that. Do you think that would have ever happened 2-3 years ago when he was getting kicked out of games and stuff like that? No, this dude's taken, he's had a lot of growth.
He's matured a lot.
You know, you can never say that he's not playing his ass off. I'll say that much.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So Jake, how did the Packers do on 3rd and 4th down defensively?
Oh man. This game was literally a dream, dude. I don't even believe that it happened. Just like I don't believe the Packers traded for Micah Parsons, I still can't believe it. It's unbelievable. They held the Lions to 5 of 15 on 3rd down. The Lions went 3 of 4 in the short area, just like last year. I'm doing short, medium, and long. The short is the 1 to 3 yards. So a lot of when they converted third downs, 3 out of the 5 were from the short. In the medium, the 4 to 7 yard range, those are the real tricky ones. They went 2 for 7, and then they were 0 for 4 on third and long. And that's because Jared Goff had to get rid of the damn ball because we were coming after his ass. So pass rush wins you a lot of football games, if you didn't know that. It allows the DBs to play a little bit more freely, knowing that they don't have to cover for as long. So defense was amazing. Obviously, they went 3 of 4 on fourth down. The last one that they converted was a crazy catch. And they made a lot of impact plays on third down. That was one thing that I took away from this. So they had 2 sacks on third downs, and they had an interception that was on third down, also in the red zone, which I will talk about here shortly. But if you live in that 5 for 15 range, you're going to win a lot of football games for the Green Bay Packers.
Did you by chance have a note of how many of them came on that last drive?
The third downs? No, I did not write that down. I will.
I mean, it had to be at least 2 or 3 of them. I mean, even just the fourth quarter, looking at the third and fourth downs, like garbage time is where it felt like a lot of the offensive numbers for the Lions came.
I did write down that 4 of their 5 third down conversions came when the Packers were up by 2 scores. So I did write that down.
That's fair. All right, Cyan, how do you feel about the secondary?
I thought they were okay this week. Like we've talked about, we forced Jared Goff to get the ball out really quickly. So a lot of his throws didn't really involve the secondary. So he averaged 3.3 air yards per completion, and that's so low.
Braden Locke at quarterback, dude.
Yeah, and he attempted 8 passes of over 10 yards, completing 5 for 89 yards. With that being said, I think Nixon and Bullard struggled a little bit, but I mean, most of the yardage came from either Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam Laporta, and those two guys are excellent players. Yeah. Bullard, to me, is like he's struggling. It seems like whatever happened in his rookie year, which I think he struggled a lot in coverage, has kind of peaked his head already. This year, I'm hoping for maybe a turnaround or something, but so far he hasn't been that good. But between the two of them, they were 14 of 15 for 114 yards and 7 first downs.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they could get whatever they wanted against Nixon, to be honest.
Yeah.
If they had time, I should say that. But
I also feel part of that is, obviously, Amon-Ra is a good wide receiver. There's really no denying that. It'd be dumb otherwise.
5 to 8 wide receiver in the league.
But I do think, and I plan on bringing this up in the coaching aspect of it, I do think the Packers played a little bit soft intentionally to make the Lions have to dink and dunk and dink and dunk and dink and dunk down the field, which is how you complete 31 passes for – what did he have, like 100 or 223 yards, something like that?
It was just over 200.
Yeah. So, and I'll give the Gibbs stat if neither of the guys give it in a minute too, but that to me seemed intentional, that the Packers were going to force the Lions to have to just take teeny tiny little 3-4 yard chunks up until really the Sam Laporta reception. Up until that point, there was no chunk plays for the Lions, and that was, what, like the 9-minute mark of the second quarter? So I think that really took the Lions out of their element, and I think you live with Amon-Ra getting the occasional, you know, I think he had one or two catches over 10 yards and then a bunch of short stuff. So, I mean, I think you live with that stuff with the goal of not letting anybody behind you. There was no field stretching for the Lions.
No.
So that to me was intentional. As far as the secondary goes, I would say the corners were okay, except for Carrington Valentine. I thought he played really well, arguably the best out of the corners. And then the safeties were very, very good.
Yeah.
If you're counting Bullard as a corner, I guess I should say. McKinney and Williams were very good.
Yes.
Bullard, if you count him in the corner group, I would say the corners weren't great, but again, that's part of why we have the pass rush that we have, and we have yet to see Nate Hobbs.
Interesting enough, Bullard actually started at safety, so I think you're going to see that some in some of the run packages, and then Evan Williams on his passing downs, because Bullard is really good at coming up and playing the run. Like, that's his best. I think that's his best trait. Yep. So yeah, I the secondary, I still worry a little bit, but we'll see what happens with Nate Hobbs out there now. You know, so you know. And just real quick, I see Steve's comment there too. I just did a quick math of just restructures next year. If Packers just basically convert a bunch of stuff to cap or to bonuses like they always do from their main players that they're going to keep, like the Jordan Loves and, you know, probably Josh Jacobs and Aaron Banks and all that, they can clear like $47 million in cap space just by doing restructures. So I think we're probably just fine. Yeah, going into next year, so. I don't know that they'll do that all, because it obviously affects stuff going forward a little bit. But yeah, they'll definitely be able to create some space next year.
Yeah,
and also we won't have a first round draft pick that we need to pay, which is another several million.
Yep. Spofford mentioned that last week as well. All right, Jake, red zone defense.
Ah, red zone defense. So the first three attempts for the Lions, they had obviously three attempts, and they had two field goals and an interception. So you're living good, right? You're holding them out on third downs. You're rushing the passer. You're making them earn every inch. The first attempt, they had third and five at the 25, Goff to St. Brown for 8. You have a first and 10 at the 17, Goff to Gibbs for 5. So people are rallying. The longest play that you gave up was 8 yards, because on second and 5 from the 12, they tried to hand it off to Gibbs. A nada, a 0 yards, a 0 inches. Third and 5 from the 12, Goff goes to Laporta, incomplete. They have to settle for a field goal. Green Bay defense buckled up, bend don't break, love that. Second attempt, they have a 4th and 2 at the 30. Goff to Williams for 11, and then that was when he talked shit, and apparently they didn't want to call taunting on him because they wanted to call taunting on our safety, which is insane to me. If you're going to enforce the rule, enforce the goddamn rule. That's all I got to say about that. First and 10. At the 19, Goff incomplete. Second attempt from the 19, Goff throws it to Montgomery. He gets 3 yards, and then he gets shut the hell down. I also heard a bunch of stuff from Lions fans that he was just going to run over Micah Parsons like 10 times. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. Third and 7 at the 16, Goff was forced to throw the pass quickly because Micah Parsons got in there so fast. And I got to say, I agree that giving the credit to Parsons is big, but we have to give a lot of credit to Evan Williams, first of all, for the IQ to be able to jump that route, to be, notice that St. Brown was sitting on that, and then to have the hands to make that play.
Yeah.
You know, you see so many diving attempts from DBs trying to catch the ball, and a lot of them dropped the interception. Yeah. So that was just an all-around great play by all players involved. Interception, they have a turnover. So they have 2 attempts, and they have 3 points.
I also think Goff deserves a little hate because that was a dog shit throw. He was telegraphing the shit out of Amon-Ra on that play.
Yeah, Goff, he was not Jared Goff. He was Jared Goof on Sunday, and that's the only version I ever want to see of him ever again.
He was staring down Amon-Ra on that throw.
Bro, he literally looked like he's about to shit his pants. I'm not kidding you. I know you were in the stands. You couldn't see his eyes, but I was looking at that man's eyes, and he was seeing everything but his receivers.
I forgot you were there on Sunday.
Yeah.
That I didn't go on Thursday. Michael was pretty awesome, huh?
I have a video on my phone, and I haven't even watched it yet, to be honest with you.
The ground was shaking.
Yeah, you got to send it in the group chat. I told Amanda, I said, I'm kind of just like, we went to the game last year, they introduced defense, which was nice to see, and it got loud for Gary and Kenny Clark and all that. We'll be at the one where if they do it every other, it should be offense or whatever. I kind of told her I wish it was defense again this year, but at least they'll be at the throwback game.
The intro of Micah Parsons, because he was last, so you knew he was coming, and the announcer kind of did like an "and from Penn State," like did like a long buildup. Versus when he got the sack and everybody's like, "Oh!" and then the sack happened, and then everybody pops. It was a bigger pop for the sack than there was for his introduction.
Yeah, that place was loud for the sack.
It could not have happened in a better place. As much fun as it would have been for it to happen in front of the Lions sideline, the fact that it happened in front of the Packers sideline, where all the defensive linemen are standing ready to sub in right in front of them, and the defensive line coach and everybody is just losing their shit. It's awesome. It's cinema. Like that's what it felt like.
Yeah,
and yes, the stadium went nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy. So continuing on the red zone, you have the third attempt. They have a 3rd and 5 from the 26. I know that's technically not the red zone, but it was a big play because Goff hit Laporta for the 16-yarder. You have 1st and goal, Goff incomplete. You have a 2nd goal from the 10. They got Gibbs for -6 yards. And then on 3rd and goal, Goff checks it down to Montgomery for 7 yards, and they have to settle for a field goal again. So you got 3 attempts. They have a turnover and 6 points. And that right there is the biggest difference in this team from last year to this year, is being able to bend and not break. That's what will make them a Super Bowl contender. Obviously, we get to the last one. 1st and 2nd down, Goff threw incompletions. 3rd down, Goff threw the Gibbs. He got 7 yards. And then 4th and goal, he got the absolutely insane catch from Tesla for a touchdown. That was actually crazy. I still couldn't believe he caught it. Like, after the replay, I was like, holy shit, dude, what a crazy catch.
I was surprised they overturned it. That, to me, seemed like one of those things that whatever they called was going to stand kind of catches.
Yeah, because you actually have possession when it was in the one hand.
That's exactly it. So we're still in that what's a catch, what isn't a catch.
Thing. Yep. So actually, the first thing I always write down when I take my notes is I write the score, right? So I wrote Packers 27, and then I wrote Lions 13 with an asterisk next to it, and I wrote a small 6 underneath it because they really scored 6 points.
It was garbage time anyways.
They scored 6. Okay, yeah. That's what it feels like to me.
It counts, but for all intents and purposes, for 80% or 90% of the game, they had 6 points. I just want to throw something out on the -6 play that you talked about with Gibbs. When Bryant was talking about the missed tackles, that was one of those plays. So the Packers have like 6 dudes around Jahmyr Gibbs. He breaks like the 1st tackle and a half. Gets his footing back and then starts running backwards and lost yardage. So that's the context of those missed tackles that actually benefited them. I'm not saying the Packers should try to intentionally miss tackles and rally and hope guys decide to run backwards, but in that specific instance, the context of that play did benefit the Packers for another 2 or 3 yard loss.
Yeah.
Steve said the Parsons chase down must have been like a crescendo. You see it coming. The entire stadium takes a collective gasp before erupting. It was. It's like you're going up the hill on the roller coaster, and then the sack happens, and it's like, that's exactly how it felt. Just the buildup of seeing him chase him down and watching him chase him down like a cheetah.
Chasing Jaws. Him.
Jaws, yeah. Didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Brian, how did you feel about special teams? I feel like the tide's turning on this one a little.
I felt pretty good. It felt all right for the – it hurts, the penalties hurt a little bit. But they're like Savion Williams having that big return to start the game, like you just feel like the place is gonna explode, and then you see a flag and it pushes all the way back, and you're just like, oh boy, here we go again. Like, really, this is how we're gonna start. So the flags, they need to get cleaned up. We hurt ourselves on a couple returns for sure. A little surprised to see Savion Williams back there returning kicks, not Nixon, because Nixon's one on the depth chart. But it could be because Nate
hurt most of camp.
Yeah, it could have been that, Hobbs was out too, so it's like, do we really want Nixon back there returning kicks? Or maybe they like Savion. It sounded like Matt LaFleur liked what Savion was doing. So, I mean, he's a 6'4 dude, like big and fast. So, hey, if we can get the ball in the hand of a playmaker, do it. I thought, aside from the penalties, everything looked really good in my opinion. Golden and Reed both looked really good returning punts. Whalen he's an X factor. I don't know how else to put it. Like, he had 3 punts. 2 of them finished over 60 yards with a long of 65. 2 were inside the 20, and he had an average of like 57 something.
I think he had 2 inside the 10 even.
Yeah, they were inside the 10. Sorry. Yeah, ESPN says inside 20. They're inside the 10. Right. One was at the 8, and the other one was right around that same spot.
Yeah.
So just he literally
came back 5 yards.
He completely like flips the field. And the one we kind of punted further back in our zone or whatever, he absolutely destroyed that thing. McManus made all 5 of his kicks. The long was only like 38 or something, but you still feel more comfortable with him kicking. Like, I don't hold my breath or anything. I don't even know that I watched the extra points get kicked, to be honest. On the end, I probably ran and grabbed something to drink or something, like, because I'm not afraid about them missing them anymore. They're not an adventure anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
We've seen some kickers get cut. Like, people, other teams are going through what we've gone through. Atlanta lost the game because, or at least didn't go into overtime. Moody, who was a 3rd-round draft pick, just got cut. I have a feeling he might end up in another team and turn things around. Like, if I'm Atlanta, I'm probably on the phone with Moody right now and saying, come out into Atlanta, kick in a dome, see what you can do for us. Like
Cleveland.
Yeah. Or Cleveland too, missing kicks. Like,
Oh, yeah.
So they could have beat Cincinnati.
That game was brutal.
Chicago last night missed the kick
for the Bengals, which would have been funny. But
yeah, that completely changed the game too. Good call.
Yeah, Santos' kick was a little longer last night, but he's missed several kicks too for them. So like, I mean, to have McManus playing the way he is, and I love the fact that over like the last couple weeks of the preseason, we extended Whelan, our long snapper, and McManus. We all have all of them for like 3 years. They're a team now. Like they're a crew together. So there's just a lot of you know, continuity in that group, and they played really well. I'll also say I thought our kick coverage was awesome. I thought we did very good on that. McManus did a really good job positioning the kicks. He'll have to do that again this week because Deebo Samuel's dangerous returning. They had a couple decent size returns, and actually they had really good coverage last week against the Giants. Now, it's hard to give Washington too much credit. The Giants are a dumpster fire. Yeah, I thought our special teams played really well aside from two big penalties.
Yeah, I wanted to give credit. I know we said to put a pin in it, but I wanted to give credit to Tyron Hopper. His kickoff coverage was very, very, very good.
Hey, oh, yeah. Also, that linebacker that we signed for special teams, like strictly Neiman, special teams.
Yeah.
The one that they had a chance to return a big and we're cutting back across, Neiman came up and made that play.
Yeah.
You know, just like you gave credit to McManus for his kicks, I wanted to give credit to Whelan, dude. Not only does a kick is 65 yards long, he kicks it about 165 yards in the goddamn air, dude. Holy shit, dude. That guy's got a leg.
What was it? The one that they were talking about, the punt right before halftime, it took 16 seconds off the clock from kick to finish where the Lions didn't have a chance and the announcers were like, that, like, normally you think you might have a play or two. That just took 16 seconds off the clock. Now, dude, granted, they were running back and forth with a turn, but
yeah, that, you know, was the one that Neiman made the tackle on because he reversed his field. But
when you punted 65 yards and then it's in the air for 6 seconds, that's a big portion of it.
Yep.
Before we switch to the offensive side of the ball and as far as coaching and time of possession go, just want to have a couple more things on the Packers defense. With the Packers defense, this can kind of go to the D line, this can go to pass rush, however you want to say it. They kept a lid on Jahmyr Gibbs. This could go to the linebackers. This can go to everybody. 10 catches for 31 yards is the fewest in NFL history on 10 receptions.
Yep.
That is the fewest amount of yards that any team has ever allowed on 10 receptions in NFL history. That's what I say to the point of the dinking and dunking that the Packers forced the Lions to do. There was no time where Jahmyr Gibbs got out into space outside of the one play where he was able to get the edge, and that was when the Lions were on their own 5-yard line. That was the only time he had an edge and actually had space to run.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, Edge Cooper going 5-for-5 for only 9 yards really count. You know, that's a huge portion of that.
Yep, I'll give you a 2-yard reception on just about every single play, unless it's like a third or fourth and one.
Yep. Have that all you want.
Yep, I'll give you a 2-yard gain on 1st and 10, 2nd and 8, and 3rd and 6.
Yep.
Okay. Moving into the offensive side of the ball, starting actually kind of still in between, but looking at coaching and time of possession, first things first, let Adam Stenovich hold the red flag. The one that Matt LaFleur challenged, I will say the one thing that he deserves a little bit of a pass about is the fact that it happened on the opposite sideline. That's the only thing I can say in his favor. But in that situation, if it's that questionable, and I'll also say if it had been called incomplete, it probably would have stood incomplete. But then again, I thought the same thing with Tesla's touchdown. If you are that on the fence about it, just call a timeout. You can still challenge after the timeout.
I feel like he probably did it a little bit too, because right after the catch, Amon-Ra and Goff were trying to hurry up to the line and get the ball snapped. So maybe he's like, oh, they don't think they completed this. So he just said, screw it. Instead of throwing the timeout, I'm just going to throw the challenge.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't have terrible issue with it because they're rushing to snap the ball.
Yeah, that's fair to bring up as well. The only play call that I really had a problem with Matt LaFleur was the first possession of the third quarter. You get two runs with Jacobs. They gained 9 yards. They had a third and one, and they tried a third handoff to Jacobs. That, to me, was like a perfect.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time to run some play action.
Yeah.
It really felt like kind of a telegraphed third down and one run. That was really the only play call that I didn't like. That was the only really play call that felt like too conservative. So that was pretty much all I had as far as the floor is concerned. Rich Bisaccia, in my opinion, I think he is rising. Definitely feeling much better about Rich Bisaccia than previous. And Jeff Hafley, he's cooking.
He's horrible. No one should sign him ever.
I hope nobody gets fired on Black Monday when it comes to coaching.
Well, Mike McDaniel's.
And Dable. I think they're both out in the next
Dable is few Dable's weeks. Gone. Mike McDaniel's is gone, and he's probably just going to stay in Miami and do loads of coke. And then
I think that the Giants are going to keep Dable until the end of the year. Then they'll fire.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't. But that's what they're going to do.
I don't think we really have to worry about
Jackson Dart. Like if Jackson Dart starts week four and lights the world on fire, then maybe Dable saves his job.
Hafley's not leaving in the middle of the season or anything, but
that's absolutely not happening.
He's going to get some interviews for sure at the end of the year.
Yeah. As far as time of possession goes, it was a little bit lopsided, 35-25 to 24-35 in favor of the Lions. Do have two things to say on that. One, quick drives by the Packers. There was one literal drive that was two plays long. A big chunk to Romeo Doubs
right after they scored,
and then after their field goal, and then a touchdown to Jaden Reed. Those two plays took 57 seconds.
Jesus Christ!
Two plays, 57 seconds. Right after the Lions finally get on the board, then the Packers are just like, "Here, touchdown."
That's what I look like on Madden, by the way.
I literally wrote a two-play drive took 57 seconds, and then parentheses in my notes, I wrote LOL. And then the second point is, like I said, the Packers made the Lions dink and dunk all game. Gibbs had the 10 catches for 31 yards. Goff completed 31 passes for 225 yards, 5.8 yards per completion. His average depth of target was 4.2 yards.
Check down king. Yeah. I mean, when he's completing 90% of his passes, that clock's going to keep running. So you know what I mean? So like, but yeah, I don't
when
care.
Everybody's 4 feet away from you. It's really easy to just be like, here.
Yeah.
That 4.2 yards is the lowest since week 9 last year, which was also in Lambeau. that game, Goff had 145 yards and a touchdown. But in that game, Gibbs and Montgomery combined for 135 rushing yards. This year on Sunday, they combined for 44. Steve said, I love that Doubs was fired up on Sunday. Yeah. He showed some emotion, which was interesting. Not something he does usually.
He did a little bit last year, too.
At times, I guess.
Yeah.
Going into the offensive side of the ball, Simon, what do you think about the tight ends?
Yeah, no surprise here, really, in with like the use of the tight ends. Kraft is going to lead this tight end room. He had 44 snaps, obviously the two catches, a huge one over the middle where he dunked on Brian Branch and talked massive stuff to him. I don't want to repeat what he said, so if you're curious, you can go look it up. starts with a P.
Mind you, this was after Branch ripped his helmet off.
Yeah.
Musgrave had a catch for 4, and Fitzpatrick had had one for 2 yards. And then it was kind of a split between Musgrave and Fitzpatrick. They played 17 and 15 snaps respectively. Mm-hmm. I think Kraft is really kind of carving out a do-it-all role as a tight end because he was excellent in run blocking and pass blocking this week. He's going to be so good. I hope he stays on this team forever.
Yeah.
Not to mention, got a handoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, I forgot about that. He had a sweep. Well, I was going to talk about that in the run game portion. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Dude, and Musgrave, man, stay on your feet. Dude, trip himself again. What the hell?
That was funny.
He wasn't gonna have a huge gain there, but he probably could have had another 5-6 yards or something.
Yeah, he could have had like 10 yards, dude.
Yeah,
trips. I'm like, what are you doing?
He's like the most athletic bums guy ever, bro.
Dude, he just gets so excited, like
like a baby deer.
Yeah. Yeah. So wide receivers. Kind of like with the tight ends, it was really kind of spread out to everyone. It was something like, what, he had 10 completions to eight different players to start the game or something like that.
He started 8 different players when his first 8 receptions, yeah. I was going to throw out there on the distribution. But yeah, his first 8 passes were completed to 8 different players.
Yeah, so I thought Dobbs, played well. He had 2 catches, one went for 20, the other one went for 48. I mean, so he's our downfield threat on this game, I guess. But that's the crazy part about the Packers is you don't know who that's going to be on any given game. Reed looked really good. Even with his foot injury, I feel a little bit better about that foot. They gave him the day off, like limited. He was off, but he's limited today in the walkthrough. He had that one. They credited him a drop against him that on that slot fade. That would have been a hard catch. I mean, that's a tough catch. And then the other one that was thrown behind him, actually Reed led the team in targets. But then he made those 2 big catches, including the touchdown on a great route. Also, I love Dontavian Wicks on that play. Ran a really good pick. Didn't touch anyone. And then he just stands there and watches it like he knows it's going to be a touchdown. It's hilarious just watching him stand there and watch it. So I love it. So then Wicks made 2 really good grabs too. And then Matt Golden, I thought he looked good. He caught both of his targets, was fine. I do want to see him more involved because I just feel like he's going to take things to the next level. I want to see him on some crossers or shots down the field for sure. I want to see him on a corner route or something like that. I do think, I'll talk about that once we start talking about Washington. Never mind. But really, another thing that was a little surprising was everyone was like, well, what are they going to do with Reed? Well, Golden played like 78% of his snaps on the outbound, and Reed played pretty much all of his snaps from the slot. So, and they'll be on the field together, and, Golden will play outside, and Reed will be in the slot. Golden did out-snap Reed, and actually Wicks out-snapped Reed as well, and Dobbs led in snaps. So, interesting balance there, so... Yeah,
it seemed watching the substitutions coming in, it basically seemed like they had 2 3 man groups.
Yep.
Yeah.
They also played a lot of 12 personnel too.
They did
a lot. So like Reed basically being a slot only guy, he's not going to see a ton of the field. And I think they're kind of babying his injury a little bit too, which you could have fooled me.
If he's going to have 2 or 3 catches and do what he did with that, then
I'll take that all day.
Yep. Yeah. On the passing game distribution, like I said, love his first 8 completions were to 8 different players. Not that teams really have to game plan for Fitzpatrick and Chris Brooks, but you can't key on just one guy. 10 different players had receptions. Golden, Kraft, Reed, Dobbs, and Wicks all had multiple receptions. You look at the way that Love distributed the ball passing-wise. He was 2 for 4 on deep balls. That's 20-plus yards. That is where the one quote-unquote drop happened. I can see it being a ball where you're like, okay, that would have been a really tough catch. I can also see it if you take it from the angle. Like, it hit both of his hands at the same time. That's a catch that Jaden Reed might tell you he should make, but I would feel that the Packers wide receivers coaches would tell him he should make that catch.
That's fair.
That was where Love was 2 for 4. He was 2 for 2 to the middle on deep balls. That's where he had those 2 big completions, one being to Romeo Dobbs and the other one, I believe, was Dontavian Wicks, I think, was the other one that was credited as a deep pass. 6 for 9 on 10-19-yard passes. That was last year. That was the place that I said he had the opportunity to improve. On those intermediate balls, he had 140.3 rating. I love to see that. If that's something that continues, be very excited about the future for Jordan Love. He was 6 for 6 on 0 to 9 and 2 for 3 behind the line of scrimmage, essentially what you would expect to see in those areas. So looking at the offensive line, Bryant, how did you feel about the O-line?
Yeah, I thought they played a great game, to be honest. Jordan Love, no sacks, two hits, a handful of hurries. I feel like they did a really good job shutting down and frustrating Hutchinson. I mean, honestly, they frustrated him so much that Hutchinson took a cheap shot at Jordan Love, which ultimately hurt Zach Tom. Yeah. And this is why I don't like the Lions. I feel like they're always constantly trying, like Kirby Josephs and Brian Branch doing cheap stuff all the time. And then you have Hutchinson, who is a great player. I don't understand. Maybe he just doesn't understand the rule, or he thought Jordan Love was in the play. But
honestly, the way I see it, he probably saw, oh, quarterback.
Yeah, and hit him, you know. Yeah. So that was unfortunate because it was kind of a double whammy. You know, he got the penalty for it. But it's like a cheap shot on Jordan Love, and then it also hurt Zach Tom. Kudos to Zach Tom for pretty much sacrificing himself so he doesn't need Jordan Love right in the head. But, I thought Ryan and Morgan, they rotated a lot until the injury. Both of them looked really good. Morgan had a really good game. Another, you know, Goody kudos is he picked up Kennard. Kennard came in, and I thought he looked really good. If you go by PFF, they say that Jenkins and Kennard were horrible in pass blocking. I don't understand how they say that when there was no sacks given up. So, they're the professionals. Another person they gave a horrible blocking grade to was Josh Jacobs. I'm pretty sure I watched him make several really good blocks. So, yep. It's not looking good for Tom and Banks this week. So we're going to need Morgan and Kennard or Belton, to really step up. We probably can't afford any more injuries this week. So, but right now it's not training very well for Banks and for Tom, at least this week.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur did say in his press conference today that he's going to give them every opportunity all the way up to game time to be able to play. It kind of seems like one of those things where if the Packers weren't playing on Thursday night, that they'd both be available for Sunday.
Yeah.
That it's not a long-term issue, which is good. So going into the run game, Simon, how did you feel about the run game?
Yeah, pretty lackluster in the first half, but I think Detroit's kind of the last few years been just a tough team to run on in general. Their defensive line is pretty good in that aspect. I thought the blocking just kind of wasn't there early in the game. Josh Jacobs only forced one missed tackle this game, which was his lowest since, I don't know, a few years ago when he was on the Raiders. 55 of Jacobs' 66 yards on the ground came after contact, so he was constantly hit at like near or behind the line of scrimmage. Jordan Love had a rush for a first down, which we love to see. It's not something that he does often. Brooks only had one carry for a yard. Wilson had one for four, and then, as we mentioned earlier, Kraft had a random jet sweep for 3 yards. I was like, what are we doing?
Put the ball in the playmakers. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's basically it. Just kind of need to be better up front.
Yeah. Kudos to Chris Brooks and his pass blocking, though. Did you see that horrible block he had? Dude, so he blocks the freaking
You might as well stick him at right guard.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, for real. Like, the one where he blocks the linebacker come through, passes him off, and then stonewalls a defensive tackle. I'm like, who is this dude? Like, that's just sick. And then, like I said, Josh Jacobs, there's a couple, the one he smoked Anzalone, and so that's why I'm
like, that was such a sick hit.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, like, they give him something like a 30-something grade. I'm like, did you watch the game? Like,
it's one of those things where, like, we like PFF's stats, but not so much their grades.
Yeah, I don't really care for the grades.
I will say the usage of Chris Brooks versus Emmanuel Wilson does make me feel like the Packers are going to potentially release Emmanuel Wilson when Marshawn Lloyd is healthy.
Yeah.
That's how it felt to me. I get that's only week one, but
they switched out their practice squad running back this week too.
Yep, they picked up Pierre Strong.
Pierre Strong, that's right. Yeah.
All right, Jake. Third and fourth down offense.
Yeah, The one area of the game that I think could need some improvement, I thought everything else was pretty sharp, but the Packers started 4 for 4 on third downs. They ended the game 4 for 10. So, I mean, obviously room for improvement. Like I said, they obviously, in third and short situations, that's really the one that is kind of bothering me a little bit. 0 for 5 on third and short situations. There was 3 straight times where Josh Jacobs and Tyler brought it up about the play where Jordan Love was kind of motioning and they direct snapped it to Josh Jacobs. That was, I don't know, that was where you're getting a little bit too cute. He got stuffed on 3rd and 1 3 straight times. He got stuffed on 3rd and 2 after 3 straight times getting stuffed on 3rd and 1. Third and mediums, the 4 through 7 range, they were 2 for 3. One of them was the 3rd and 7 where they hit Reed for 26 yards. So that was a big time play. And then the 3rd and longs, 8+ yards, they were 2 for 2. One of them was the Tucker Kraft TD where, you know, he said some colorful words to Brian Branch, and I 100% agree with him because that safety duo, I don't think I've ever hated a safety duo more in my entire life. My goodness, dude. What a bunch of Bush League.
I mean, honestly, their wide receiver core, too. I shouldn't even say that. Just the top two of their wide receiver core.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, why can't they all just be like Laporta? Like, that guy's, like, strictly, like, straight up just like a baller. He'll talk a little bit. He'll get excited. But, like, he acts like a professional.
And I like Tesla. And I like Reynolds. And, like, Khalif Raymond. Like, those guys are all just, like, they're pros.
Yeah, yeah.
Amon-Ra is a douche. And Jameson Williams is getting his ass kicked. And he's still talking shit as he's walking out of the field. It's like, bro, read the room.
I agree with you. And, you know, I was saying this to one of my buddies, man. I was like, dude, I really want to see what these young Lions players that came in the league, they started winning a bunch of games, you know, they're biting kneecaps or whatever the hell they're doing over there. I want to see how they react when they lose. If they win like 5, they go like 5-12 or something. I would love to see how those guys act because of the way that they like to run their mouths the last couple of years. That would just be something interesting. But anyways, on the third downs, got to get the power run game going. You're definitely going to need that in November and December later in the season. Josh Jacobs last year, the second half of the year, he was a monster in that short yardage. Obviously, he scored a touchdown this week too, but that wasn't on third or fourth down. But it would be I would like to live around the 45% range, 50% range. That would be nice, especially the third and shorts. That's the one that's really bothering me.
Yeah, and I will say the red zone offense, like I don't have – complaints really. They were 5 for 5 scoring. They had 5 trips. They scored 3 touchdowns, started 2 for 2 on touchdowns, got 2 field goals. So they did score all 5 times and they did get to the red zone for all 27 of their points. You know, there's 2 ways to look at it. You can say, okay, look, the offense is sustaining drives by getting down into the red zone and then finishing it off with points. And you can also say, you know, there's an opportunity for the Packers to have some more explosive plays by scoring from outside the red zone. So I can kind of see the duality of perspective on that. And that's one of the things with our show that we want to try to give is that extra perspective to be able to see things from both sides and give them both their validity. Now, one thing we're only going to see one side of is Jordan Love. He's clearly going to be the MVP, Super Bowl MVP, and All-Pro and Offensive Player of the Year. There's only one way to view this. If you view it any other way, you're wrong. There's no other perspective on this. So, Simon, tell me all why Jordan Love is the best, and he's going to be the GOAT of all time.
The greatest of all time of all time.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm glad you caught that.
Yep. Jordan Love, I thought he played a pretty solid game. I think the offense sputtered a little bit in the third quarter. But outside of that, I think all in all, he played a really good game. I thought he got a little bit lucky with the penalties and the dropped interception. He got pressured on that dropped interception and then that – I don't know what he was looking at on that one that got called back. But he was exceptional in the intermediate area of 10 to 19 air yards. He completed 6 of 8 passes for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns, which we'd love. The ball distribution, kind of like Tyler already talked about, 10 different Packers receivers caught a pass, including everyone who ran a route other than Malik Heath, who ran 3 routes. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Last thing. I love his pocket manipulation. Like he's got to be one of the best in the game at that, of avoiding the rush and getting himself in a spot where he can get on platform and throw the ball, or at least get a little off platform and throw the ball. I think he's one of the best in the game at that. And that's what leads to these zero sack weeks. Because the Lions did put on a little bit of pressure at some points in the game, but Jordan Love missed me with that BS.
I like that.
Yeah, he's really good at avoiding sacks. And the stunts that they're trying to run at the beginning of the game where the running backs were picking him up and everything, the twists and bringing six, Jordan Love and all them communicating and picking that up was great. And Jordan Love's obviously part of that. You see him making checks at the line and everything. Overall, I thought he had a pretty solid game. I feel like there's some plays he'd like back. The one drop by Anzalone was a bad, really bad throw. I feel like the pick six that got called back, I feel like there's something like that's kind of a broken play. Kind of chucked the throw out there. Still not a smart decision. Other two throws I think he'd probably want back was the one where he missed Tucker Kraft wide open. I know he's trying to lead him there, but at that point, Tucker's so open. Just float it out there, let him catch it and turn around and run upfield however much he can. You got to complete that pass. And then the one that was a little bit behind Reed, where Reed had a little bit of room to run. Other than that, which is good. I'm glad that Jordan has a couple things he can clean up in a win or whatever. So, but then he makes throws that are like that throw to Tucker Kraft, the read, the anticipation. Tucker Kraft's not even behind the linebacker yet. That is an amazing throw. And we've seen him do that before. And then that to the throw to Jaden Reed, I mean, that is perfect. Like, you could not place that ball better on that touchdown. And I get it that Jaden Reed ran a great route.
The same thing.
Yeah, I get it that Jaden Reed ran a great route and was wide open. Well, you still have to make a really good throw when you're throwing across the field like that and, you know, leading someone in the end zone. That's not an easy throw to make. So I thought overall he played really well.
Dropping the one into Dobbs on the deep ball, too.
Yeah.
Dropping it in between two Lions.
Yeah. There was another – I wish I would have thought of to pull this play up. There's another play. I think it was one of the passes, maybe possibly to Golden, where you could see him. He was about to let it rip. You see him read the linebacker, pull it back down, and wait for the wide receiver to clear the linebacker and hits him on the sidelines for a first down. And that, I thought, I was like, wow, that was like a great job, because there's – at minimum, that ball is probably getting deflected.
It was a crosser to Golden. You're right.
Yeah.
And he was able to pump fake because the Lions are dumb and they fucking dropped Aiden Hutchinson in the coverage like a bunch of smart asses. Yeah, that's a good idea. Your best pass rusher, let's drop him back. Good idea.
All right, Jake, what did you think of Jordan Love?
Yeah, so Jordan Love, he has total control of this offense. You could see it as evidence on him calling a check. You know, we keep talking about that two-play drive because that was really the stamp on the game. That was just like, this is BTA. he actually checks the play at the line and checks to the pass play to Jaden Reed, and he just drops it in the bucket, dude. Back-to-back drops in the bucket. One thing I do love about Jordan Love, he is not afraid to rip the seam, dude. And we keep talking about that Tucker Kraft play as well, dude. He just stares at him, and he's just like, I'm going to throw this as hard as I can, and I hope that Tucker Kraft catches this. And he just rips it, and I'm just like, God damn it, I love this guy. He's not afraid to stretch the defense. He looked healthy. That was nice to see. I feel like it literally feels like it's been 2 years since we've seen healthy Jordan Love. So he was standing there confidently. He was firing the ball, making checks. I got nothing to complain about with Jordan Love. Maybe a little bit more consistency on some passes, like Brian was saying, but I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, you guys talked about the two turnover worthy plays. He had four credited big time throws, doing really well on third down, throwing touchdowns, the deep ball to Dobbs. His average depth of target was 10.8.
Hell yeah!
Compared to Goff's 4.2.
Hell yeah! Keep it around there.
Yeah, that means good things for the downfield games versus teams that don't have as notable of safeties as the Lions do. Because as douchey as their safeties are, they're still good safeties. Also, they have pass rushers you have to be aware of. So we get against a team that doesn't have as good of a pass rush or as good of secondary, the Packers are going to be able to throw the ball around. The last thing I had on Jordan Love, he was 14 of 17 when kept clean. That includes both of his touchdowns and a 147.5 rating. That'll play. All right. Anything else you guys want to say on the win before we get to the short turnaround?
just great start to the season. I mean, that's a huge win right there that could have ramifications later in the season. We have another one of those coming up right now. So,
yep.
All right. Start on the defensive side of the ball. Bryant, what are you looking for on the defensive side of the ball against the Commanders on Thursday?
Yeah, the linebackers are going to be huge again in this game, right? Kind of for a little bit of a different reason this time, and that's because Jaden Daniels. I think he led their team, and well, no, he was second behind Koski, who had a couple of big runs too that we'll talk about. But Quay Walker and Edge Cooper. Quay was added to the injury report late yesterday with a quad injury, and they had a non-participant, but he would have been a limited participant, or he was limited in the walkthrough today, so I'm thinking he'll probably be all right. Maybe he got hit in the thigh or something. So we'll just need their speed and what they did against Gibbs, essentially get outside, do not let Jaden Daniels, you know, one of them is going to be spying him. I have a feeling one of them is going to be spying him. Do not let him break contain and make you have a long night. So yeah. And then they'll have to cover Koski too. There's a couple times he was kind of bottled up in the middle and he bounced it outside and busted it for a huge run. So make sure you get him to the ground. And then Deebo Samuel poses a little bit of a threat too. He can run the ball. He ran for a 19-yard touchdown run in that game. And then he'll catch a lot of short passes and just make it really hard to tackle. And he is still a very good player. Deebo Samuel is, you know, not a scrub at all. So you just make sure you're getting these guys to the ground. And yeah, so I'm just looking for their speed again to be huge in this game. That'll be huge every game, obviously. But with these, when you have, you know, it's not going to be as huge against Cleveland in week three because Joe Flacco ain't running anywhere. You know, and they don't have like a running back that's really, you know, super explosive or anything right now. So, so for this game, it's going to be pretty big.
Simon, what are you looking for from the Packers defense on Thursday night?
I had a lot of what Brian put down too, but I just sent a tweet in the chat. Josh Connerly is Washington's right tackle rookie. So good luck with Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons this week. Good luck.
Yeah. To add on to that real quick, if I can, I was looking up. Okay. There were three of their offensive linemen that really struggled against the Giants, and one of them happens to be the center. So I think Devontae Wyatt could be cause some issues.
Yeah. Washington did allow three sacks last week, so I'll be looking for the Packers to add on. I was really honestly impressed with everything that the defensive line did against the Lions, so I'd gladly take a repeat of it. I do think there's an opportunity to exceed it because I do think Detroit has a better offensive line than Washington does. That said, Brian did bring up something that I had written down, was to keep the edges set, control the east-west, especially when it comes to Deebo. The only other two things is I'd like to see a little more out of Carl Brooks, especially in the passing game. And then Micah Parsons playing 45% of snaps on Sunday. I'm hoping maybe he can get around like 60% of snaps. I expect a small increase, but not full, you know, like the full 70 snaps or whatever it ends up being for the defense. But if play something like 40 snaps, I'd be good with that slight increase. And that's honestly, that's what I would be expecting. So, Jake, what are you looking for from the defense?
Yeah, so obviously you have to contain Daniels' legs. That's something that's going to be a key. They're gonna talk about that for 6 hours before this game on Thursday. That's going to be one of the biggest keys of this game. Also, you know, setting the edge, Micah, Gary, LVN, Enagbare, we've talked about him, haven't mentioned him yet. He's improved a lot over the last couple of years. And pushing the pocket from the middle, that's the biggest way to get a quarterback who likes to run around. Push the pocket from the middle, flush him outside, then you can kind of control it from there. But having a guy like Micah Parsons that's just as fast as the quarterback, I texted Tyler a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, hot take, the Packers run defense may take a step back. Totally wrong about that. Glad I was wrong about that after week one. But I said, you know, having a guy like Micah Parsons on the edge, it's just going to make you better against running quarterbacks, which, good God, for the last 10 to 12 years, I've been sick and tired of watching quarterbacks run all over us. So that's nice to see. Red zone defense, do exactly what you did last week. Bend, don't break. It would be a fairy tale to think that they're not going to make the red zone at some point in this game with a guy like Jaden Daniels and all the other guys that they have on this team. And then third and fourth down defense, 5 and 15 is a really good place to live. I'm going to sound redundant from what I said before, but if you live in that area where they're getting one out of every three, you're going to win a lot of football games this year. The Packers have done a really nice job. I just want to keep talking about Gunnar Kuntz over the last couple of years, drafting guys like Wyatt in the 2022 first round, talking about guys like, you know, LVN in the first round. You're talking about Evan Williams. We've created so much depth and speed, and this team looks young and hungry, and they want to win. So the time is now. They've been growing the last couple of years. Let's put this shit together, man. Let's put it on full display. We were national game of the week on CBS this last week. We're now on the Thursday night football game. We're about to put everybody on notice. This shit's about to be good. And they've been freaking forcing Jaden Daniels down everybody's throat the last 8 months. Let's shut his ass up tonight.
Hey, real quick. I know I just was kind of poo-pooing on PFF grades earlier or whatever, but I'd seen this earlier. But so their center, Washington, for his game against New York, his PFF grade for pass block was 47. You want to take a guess what their right guard graded at for pass block grade?
27.
32.
20.8 was his pass block grade.
Did he just hand the dude a mint on the way to the quarterback? Like,
I don't know, but he was 74 out of 78 guards graded this last week.
Olé!
When I'm telling you that that right side of the interior line is going to have some troubles, they're probably going to have some troubles. Unless they can vastly improve.
He's got nearly headless Nick out there playing right guard for him.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Bryant, what are you looking for special teams?
Yeah, continue to have a good game. You know, Wheeling's going to be big in flipping the field. Washington's a good team. They're going to give us some struggles a little bit. We're going to have to, you know, we're not going to just go up and down the field on them. They have a really, really good trio of quarterbacks. So we're going to need Wheeling to have another big game. Hopefully his knee's fine. He was going to participate today. McManus, once we've talked about, make your kicks. Don't leave nothing on the table. We need all the points we can against like an air raid offense that wants to put up a bunch of points like Washington does. And then just make sure you're covering those kickoffs like you did against Detroit. Washington has a couple dangerous kick returners. And then they also did a really, really good job covering as well on Sunday against the Giants. So, you know, just be prepared to, you know, if the ball's going to go in the end zone, you just let it go in the end zone, take that 35-yard line every time. So we'll see how it plays out. But just more of what they did this last week without penalties, and it'd be great.
Yeah. All right, going to the offensive side of the ball, Jake, what are you looking for offense on Sunday?
Yeah, so I focused on third and fourth down offense, and again, I would love to get the power run game going, and this is the one area that I really was going at LaFleur, and I'm just like, bro, you have one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. Everybody talks about it. I mean, people still pick him for MVP after the year he had last year when he was injured and, you know, he was making some poor decisions at times. Let him throw the goddamn ball in third and short every once in a while.
Yep.
It's okay.
Play action. Please.
Dude, a fucking slant, dude. What's wrong with a slant? Romeo Doubs is really good at slants, bro. Let him run a goddamn slant. It's not that fucking difficult.
Dude, bring Alan Lazard back off the Jets practice squad just to fucking have him run a slant on third and one. He was automatic when they had Rodgers in there.
One thing that could take this offense to the next level that they don't do, Tucker Kraft in the slot. I'm not even kidding you. Tucker Kraft in the slot. Slant. He's going to get open, bro. He's going to catch the damn ball.
Even if he's open, you could put a linebacker on his back like a backpack, and he could still catch a third and one, 5-yard slant. Tucker Kraft,
slot, slant, easy, third and two, picked up, let's go. That or get the goddamn run game going. Those are the only two things you can do on third shorts.
Simon, what are you looking for from the offense on Thursday?
Yeah, just getting the running game going. Jordan Love is exceptional when it comes to play action. And for play action to work really effectively, you have to have a little bit of a run game going. Versus the Lions, Jordan Love had 7 play action passes resulting in 6 receptions, and 3 of them went over 10 yards. So hey. I'm hoping. Huh?
That's a crazy stat.
He said, sorry. Damn, he was hyping you up.
Oh, yeah, I missed it. That's a crazy stat. But that's what I got.
Brian, what are you looking for offensively?
Yeah, we're gonna have to play a clean game. Like I just mentioned, they have a really, really good trio of cornerbacks, so it's not gonna be easy sledding in the passing game against them guys at all. I think they were like third lowest in yards allowed last year. Now they've added Trey Amos, who we all really liked coming out of college. Had a pretty good first week. Was playing against Malik Nabers and had some pretty good plays against him. So he is no scrub. And then you got Sandersville in the slot. Then you have Marshawn Lattimore, who is a little, I feel like maybe they can take a deep shot on him if they get the opportunity in the, in, on the other side. But they, I mean, those are three good corners. And then, you know, the offensive line is going to be, the health is going to be pretty intriguing to see what's going to go on here. They just have to have a good plan to deal with Payne and Von Miller and Frankie Louvu, really. You know, Giants running backs only ran for 30 total yards against Washington. Granted, they have Tyrone Tracy running the ball, not Josh Jacobs. And our offensive line is a lot better, not scoring, you know, a 20 PFF grade. So I feel like, you know, so last year, as good as Washington was in the running, or I mean in the passing game, they were that bad in the against the run. Last year against the run, they allowed 137 yards per game, 4.8 yards per run, and 18 touchdowns on the ground. So they were third worst in the league in that. So they were third best in the league against pass, but third worst in the league against the run last year. So I do feel like this is a game that we could see Josh Jacobs take over a game and, you know, kind of give everyone a little bit of rest after, you know, a short week, and he could just take over and you know, put this game on his back here.
I like that.
So you guys covered most of everything that I had written down. The only other thing that I had written down was it's hard to ask Jordan Love to spread the ball around more than he did last week. So my only real thing with as far as passing game distribution goes, I'd like to see Golden involved just a little bit more. You know, you guys talked about the slants and stuff like that, but, you know, running some more crossers with him, seeing if you can get him on a deep shot. I don't think I recalled any plays where the Packers sent him on a deep fly ball. So that's something I'd be interested to see, just to see what Washington does with it. Just send him on a go route. Just see what they do. And, you know, kind of start to get a feel of how you're going to use Golden as far as the rest of the season progresses. Bryant, you guys, I know we've talked about a bunch of the injuries, but what are the big injury designations that we're watching for?
Yeah, Washington's pretty healthy, so nothing there. But Banks, Tom, Brent Cox, Bo Melton, all of them I expect probably miss this game. Reed and Golden and Wicks all are still on the injury report, but all would have go through the walkthrough today. Reed is probably and Wicks are holdovers from last week. Golden popped up with a little bit of an ankle, but I think he'll be fine. So really the main concerning ones are just Banks and Tom, in my opinion. I think, you know, we can get by without Cox. I think Angbari can play more. And then, you know, Bull Melton really didn't see the field much either. So I feel like we can get by there too. So overall, the Banks and Tom ones are the big one that we need to be concerned about.
All right. Moving on, Jake, what's the weather going to be like on Thursday night?
All right. So it's going to be around 60 degrees during kickoff time. It's going to be calm and a few clouds. So nothing really to report. Honestly, Tyler, I know that you live here in Wisconsin with me. The other guys do not. So they're not as cool as us. But the weather this week has been goddamn perfect, dude. It has been elite.
It's elite. Nice here. So, well, our North Dakota weather moves west, east towards you. So, I mean, it's pretty, you know, it's like 78 and stuff here, you know,
it's today. Hot as hell here.
Pretty nice. So, yeah you're in
yeah, down in Texas.
You're in the armpit of Texas.
How is that? How is that extreme change going from Alaska to Texas?
I got used to it pretty quickly.
All righty. Simon, I'll let you go first. Who is your X factor for Thursday?
We kind of already talked about it, but it's the linebacker core. I think they're going to be asking Quay or Cooper, who both have extremely good athleticism, to spy Daniels a little bit. Or maybe do some A-gap blitzes, force Daniels to stay in the pocket and make some terrible decisions, hopefully.
Bryant, who's your X-factor?
Yeah, mine is Josh Jacobs. You know, I talked about the running game last year that Washington struggled against. And so I think Josh Jacobs could really just kind of take control of this game.
Jake, who's your X factor?
I felt really boring picking this, but I feel like it's Jordan Love. You need to continue playing clean football, you know, distributing the ball to a bunch of people and, you know, lead this team to a win. Start off 2-0. That'll be massive later in the year if they win these first two games at home.
Yeah, so I didn't pick a player. I picked an aspect of the game, and it was the penalties. Bryant brought it up a bunch of times, playing cleaner football. Packers had four penalties. One of them was a soft taunting call that got called on Xavier McKinney. Washington had 12 penalties last week.
Wow.
12.
Holy.
The Packers can absolutely help their cause in winning this game by being the more disciplined team. All right. Simon, we missed you last week for score predictions. I did still read yours off, but what is your score prediction from the head?
Yeah. So for the head, I got 33-24.
Wow.
All right. Brian, what do you got from the head?
I went much more conservative on a short week, a little banged up. I put Packers 24, Washington 20.
All right. I went 27-21.
Okay. I went 26-20.
All right.
I literally had that written down and changed it to
24-20. Dude, I had 24-20 written down. And I was like, nah.
All right, Simon, from the heart.
So I kind of went with a more like Packers are taking this momentum into this game, 35-20.
I would love that.
All right. Brian, what about you?
31-21.
All right. I have 33-13. I'm kind of with Simon on the momentum. If we held the Lions to 13 points and made them play very uncomfortable looking against a worse offensive line, riding that momentum, I think the Packers can stick it to them a little bit if they play very similarly to how they played against Detroit.
Good point.
I have 30-17, so we all have ass whoopings. I like that.
I like it. All right, Brian, how many Simon Says you got this week?
3.
All right, you can go first.
Okay, this is my extra. I'll give you my extra first. Jordan Love has more rushing yards than Jaden Daniels.
Damn.
Oh, no. There's just no way.
There is a way.
There is, but that's
it's highly unlikely. That's bold.
Yeah, I just there's no way.
Okay.
All right. Jake, rip one.
We should call this Scrooge because he never gives us a goddamn thumbs up. I have Love 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, complain and you get what you want. Let's go.
Let me jump in because I'm going to double down on the one that I had last week was 3 touchdowns by Love to 3 different players. He started 2 for 2. I'm like, oh, it's first quarter. He's already got 2 for 2. And then it's like, oh, all right, we're just not throwing the ball anymore.
No. Oh, you're saying that's it again?
Yes. Yep,
okay, I thought you were going to alter it a little bit. Yeah, I like that.
All right, Brian, give me another one.
Yeah, kind of going off of my sack one from last week, I'm going to go the Packers have 5 sacks by 5 different players this week.
Whoa. Hold on. How about 6 by 4 different players?
Is that what you had?
Yep.
I like it. I think that'd be sick.
Okay. I have the defense is going to force 1 interception, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, and have a touchdown. They're going to get 1 of each.
Hell yeah. I can see
Let's go.
All right. My last one is that Josh Jacob rushes for over 120 yards.
Okay. I had something pretty similar. I said run game redeems itself. Jacobs and company go for 150 on the ground.
Hell yeah. Oh, yep.
Please.
If you include Jordan Love in there, yeah. I
agree. Yeah, him and his 80 rushing yards that he's going to beat out Jaden Daniels for. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he beats him 70-69, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other one I had was run D stays strong and holds them under 70 yards rushing as a team.
Hell yeah.
I like that one. All right. Should be fun. I'm excited for Thursday night. Regardless of what happens, this should just be a good football game to watch. As far as Thursday night games are concerned, this is one of the better ones that I can remember for recent memory for matchups, I would say.
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because, Cowboys-Eagles is a division game, but nobody gives a shit about the Cowboys.
Big game for the NFC for sure.
So. I mean, they made it a game. CeeDee Lamb just dropped it.
Yeah. Thanks to my fan. Probably because he's on my fantasy team.
Honestly, all the primetime games were good this week.
Dude, yeah. So good. I needed that for my mental health. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I needed football, dude.
last night, I would say it was a good game if you're not a Minnesota or Chicago, man.
Oh, dude, that was a good game for us. We saw both quarterbacks be shit, but
yeah.
That's besides the point.
I said it to multiple people. I'm like, nobody came out of that game feeling good about what they had.
No. If you're going to the game, you wear white. The Packers ask you to wear white. They're probably going to be in the all whites.
They are going to be in the all whites. It's confirmed.
We call ourselves the best fans in the NFL. Let's prove it and stop selling your goddamn tickets to the away team. I'm sick and tired of that shit. Thank you. That's all I got.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. With that, we'll be back again next Tuesday. Other than that, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Yeah. Jake and I will see you tomorrow to talk about Brewers and Badgers, and then we'll be back next Tuesday. So take care.
Hell yeah.